This media is brought to you by Polyscope.
I'm Cassie Bishop.
And I'm Ray Turing.
Dive into the heart of AI innovation with us on AI Daily.
Bringing you breaking news in AI, unveiling the future as it unfolds.
Subscribe now and stay ahead with AIDaily.us.
Why listen to the past when you can listen to the future? Welcome to the Think Future podcast, broadcasting live from the heart of Silicon Valley, California. We focus on AI, startups, humanity, and the future. Not necessarily those, and not necessarily in that order. Here's your host.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Think Future podcast. My name is Chris Kalaboukas, and once again, we're coming at you live, well, sort of live, from deep, deep, deep in the heart of Silicon Valley, California. We're talking AI, startups, humanity, the future, plus all sorts of other things, not necessarily those, and not necessarily in that order. As a matter of fact, today, I'm going to talk something that's a little more human. Optimism and pessimism. You know, it's funny how each and every time we have a technological disruption, and I talked about this on Tuesday's show, each and every single time we have a technological disruption, we have a massive amount of pessimists come out against that disruption, and we have a small amount of optimists coming out for the disruption, because we see the possibility of where the disruption can take us. And that's one of the things about, if you're future-focused, I think if you're a future-focused individual, or if you want to be a future-focused individual, you have to be an optimist. Because if you're a pessimist, you're thinking the end of the world is going to come around the corner every single minute. So if there's the end of the world is coming every single minute, then why bother thinking about the future? But I digress. I think that's a topic for another day. I call myself AI positive. And the reason why I'm AI positive is because I can see that AI can be used for so much good. It's an extremely beneficial technology. And I see it as a beneficial technology because I am an optimist. I see the possibilities of what we can do with AI to improve the lot of the human race. Right? But I don't know if I'm in the minority or is because social media tends to amplify the negative. It's like whenever I post something positive about AI, I get like 25 views. When somebody posts something negative about AI, they get a million views. Why is that? Somebody's got to fix the algorithm. It's a normal human trait. You know, human beings, we always respond to the negative more strongly than we respond to the positive. Right? It's even in all the way through sales. It's like, don't sell your product as a vitamin. Sell it as a pain reliever. You got to relieve the pain. I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of tired of pain relief. I want us to look at things in a more optimistic light. And what I've said many times is that AI is a tool. It's like any other tool. It's like the internet. You can use the internet for evil, and you can use the internet for good. And if you believe in that humans are inherently good, then you can think that any tool that comes along, no matter how powerful, can be used for good as long as we do it right. That's why my tagline nowadays is the future is bright if we do it right. The if in there is down to us. It's our responsibility to take these tools and use them in a responsible manner. Use them in a way that improves humanity instead of wrecks humanity. I mean, I put this on X a number of times. Are you an AI optimist or an AI pessimist? And I get responses like, well, I'm an AI optimist because I think AI is a powerful technology, but I'm a human pessimist because I think humans are going to use it to destroy other people. And it is being used right now. I mean, in our sister publication, AI Daily, there's been plenty of stories about how Israel is using AI to target locations in Gaza. Now, if you ask me, that's a very negative use of AI. From their perspective, it might be a positive use, but it's a very negative use, right? So yeah, I think it really depends on the individuals and what's driving them. It's our choice. We have to make moral choices every single day. It all comes down to what we decide to do. And we can decide to use AI for good, and we can decide to use AI for evil. As I quoted on Tuesday's show, 75% of employees, this is a recent statistic, 75% of employees are using AI at work, whether or not their employers sanction it. Now, what do you think these 75% of people are using AI to do? Do you think they're using it to write nastygrams to their employees? Do you think they're using it in a negative way? No, they're probably using it to improve their jobs, right? To make their jobs easier, right? Like in one of the recent posts on 10XU, Nick Harper, our productivity guru, said something about using it to summarize websites. She uses it to summarize websites. So instead of taking hours reading through a website and trying to understand what this thing is, she throws ChatGPT at it, and ChatGPT basically comes back with a response, a summary, in a fraction of the time. Is that using the job, using ChatGPT for good or evil? Is that using AI for good or evil? It saves her time to do other work. So I think most people, and this is the weird conundrum we have with the media, the way people portray themselves, and the way they really are. I think most people, and this is one of the reasons why I was describing a while back, why chatbots like Tay and other chatbots that learn off social media are so poor. Why are all these chatbots so awful? And the main reason why the chatbots are awful is because they're trained off of public social media data. And one of the things that we human beings do on social media is we act outrageous and negative on purpose instead of how we act in real life. Like, can you imagine? I mean, when's the last time you were on any kind of social media? How often do you see people just saying things that are purposely outrageous just to get a reaction? Engagement farming. Would they say something like that to someone's face? Never. Never. If people were their authentic selves on social media, then we'd have a lot less of this stuff. So these chatbots are trained on a set of communications, social media, which is purposely designed to outrage. We do this on purpose to grab attention. This isn't who we really are. Some people maybe are like that. But I think maybe, I don't know, 70 or 80% of people, the way they communicate online is not how they would communicate in person. So the picture, the image of the human race that we're all getting when we try to look on social media and go, this is what people are like, is not what people are really like. Because they want attention on these social media. Why would you be on social media unless you're looking for attention? Some people use it for communication, sure. But there's lots of people out there who are using it for attention. They're using it to gain attention. And some social networks actually pay people who gain more attention. So what do you think they're going to do? They're going to be even more and more outrageous. So what we see, even though social media has become us, right? I mean, your image of me is what you're seeing on YouTube right now or listening to on your podcast. Your image of the kind of person that I am is this thing that I put in front of you and you think I'm really like this. Because this is all you know about me. Of course, there's people who know me personally and go, yeah, well, he's pretty much like he is on the show. But there's lots of people who aren't like that. They put on a persona for who they are. And this persona is the thing that we're using to judge the human race on. We are using an inaccurate portrayal of the human race or humanity. An inaccurate portrayal of humanity to determine what humanity really is like. And one of the things that really gets engagement shooting through the roof is division. The more often you can actually take individuals and pit them against each other, put them in a tribe and say, well, you are in this tribe. And if you're in this tribe, and this, you're in this tribe, and you're in this tribe, and then foment conflict between those tribes, then man, oh man, are you going to get some engagement. But is this really true? No, because underneath it all, underneath all of this chaos, underneath all this engagement farming, all of this communication that's being created specifically to outrage and grab attention, I think most human beings all want the same things underneath it all. They all want to live a quiet life. They all want to be able to support their friends, support their family. Maybe some of them want to have children. Maybe some of them don't want to have children. Maybe some of them want to find love. Maybe some of them don't want to find love. But underneath it all, the human condition is similar, whether you're an Israeli, you're Ukrainian, you're in Gaza, you're in the States, you're in Europe, wherever you are in the world, there's certain things that you want. Look at Maslow's pyramid, which I'm not in 100% agreement with, but there's lots of those elements that are there. Most human beings want the same things. We are more united in what we want than what it how it looks on the internet, on the social media. A lot of us are more alike then we are different. That's why what happens is when you hear about, and this is a fine-tuned sense that I've built, and I think we should all build this exact same sense when we're communicating with anyone on the internet. First of all, sense the engagement farming. What are people trying to say that will specifically designed to grab views? Something to enrage people, something to outrage people, something to cause conflict. Because the more conflict, the more outrage, the more people get paid. So why not cause more conflict and outrage? We're not talking about truth here, folks. This isn't truth, none of it. It's all as far from the truth as you can imagine. You can't expect truth on social media because unless it's a truth that grabs views, nobody wants to hear it. Like, for example, the view that most human beings are alike and want the same things. There's more things that unite us than there are things that divide us. But the things that divide us are the things that get the views. So underneath it all, you have to have this fine-tuned sense that, are they being outrageous on purpose? Or this is what they're really like? Are they being outrageous so that they can grab views, the engagement farm, and make more money? Probably. They probably wouldn't act like that if they were in front of you, if you were at a dinner party, or if you're talking to each other in person. People have completely different personas online, and they do it for the views. So you have to think about that. And the second thing you should really tune yourself into, and I can see it everywhere, and you can probably see it too, but maybe you haven't seen this particular level of it, is division. Whenever anyone, and it doesn't matter whether you're on the left or the right or the top or the bottom, wherever the hell you are, division. Anyone who deliberately tries to split us up into different tribes, no matter what our tribes are, white, black, you know, Asian, gay, straight, gender fluid, not gender fluid, you know, old, young, whatever. tries to split us up into groups, tribes, I like to call them, and then bang those tribes against it, try to create, foment division. There's plenty of people out there who foment division. They try to foment division. And you can see it if you just spend a little bit of time on the internet. There's people who go, well, it's them. It's all their fault. Well, you know those people that you're pointing to and saying them, they're human beings too. They're probably a lot like you. I bet you anything, if you sat down and had a beer with them, or a scotch, or whatever your tipple is, tea, coffee, whatever, you would have a civil conversation, and you wouldn't get into the kind of screaming arguments that you see on social media. Because underneath it all, we all want the same things. Most of us want the same things for ourselves, and for our families, and for our friends, and for our lives. So having a keen sense of who is trying to divide people is extremely helpful. And this is going to lead me back to the optimism versus pessimism conversation, is that we are the ones, we're back to choice again, we are the ones who can choose to be optimistic about something or choose to be pessimistic about something. And I think a lot of people choose to be pessimistic about things, not because they really are pessimistic about things, because it drives engagement. Like I said before, post something negative about AI, get thousands of views. Post something positive about AI, in the gutter. 20 views if you're lucky. We need to change that. As humanity, we need to step away. We need to evolve away from being alarmed by the negative. And we need to draw to ourselves towards the positive. We need to have a positive outlook on life. And I think most people actually do have a positive outlook on life. Because if you didn't have a positive outlook on life, you wouldn't have a very fun life now, would you? You wouldn't think that the future is going to get better. You'd think that the future is going to get worse. And if you think the future is going to get worse, you might just crawl into bed and never do anything ever again. If you really, truly believe that everything is going to get worse, it's completely up to us. We are the ones who have to decide where the future is going. Are we going to decide on the side of division, on the side of hate, on the side of pessimism, on the side of things getting worse? Or are we going to go on the side of optimism, of things getting better? Which side would you rather be on? Wouldn't you rather be on the side of things getting better? Wouldn't you rather be on the side of things improving for us? Using technology to make our lives better? Using AI to make our lives better? And not just our lives. Sure, our lives, our personal lives, can be made better with AI. Like I said, if 75% of employees are using AI to make their lives better, I don't think they're using it to write nasty grams, are they? So we all need to look at AI and go, this is going to make our lives better. This is going to make our lives better. And not only is it going to make our lives better, is it going to make all of our lives better? It's a tool that can be used in many different ways. And we have to choose. We have to make the choice to use it for good for ourselves and for humanity as a whole. That is the promise of these technologies, that we use them to unite us and we use them for good. It's our choice. The future is bright if we do it right. That's it for me for today. See you next time, and until then, don't forget to think future.